the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. As we come your way, I want you to join me as I pray this prayer for the message. And this prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read prayerfully for me and for yourself. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you and to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what's the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and that what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. May the Lord answer this prayer. May He grant to us the eyes of understanding, that our eyes of understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling. May the Lord answer this prayer for you and I, listener, as we continue this morning on the message we've been bringing to you from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3, dealing with the first principles of the oracles of God, knowing that these are foundational teachings, and if we are to go into perfection, we need to understand them, we need to comprehend them, we need to experience them, and we need to be transformed by them. So let's read together Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permit. We are dealing now with the resurrection of the dead, and this we've been doing for some weeks, trusting that you are following, and we know we are dealing with some issues that we will need understanding, we will need revelation. That's why we pray that prayer for ourselves, so that God may continue to grant us the spirit of revelation and the spirit of understanding, and that we may know, we may experience. That is important. We read from Revelation last week, and from Ezekiel chapter 9, dealing with the issue of taking the mark, and we share with you that we, just like God gives mark, Satan also gives mark, and we showed you how God gives mark to His people, how He marks them upon their foreheads by sending people to minister the truth of the word of God to them. And we also share with you that if this is true, that means taking marks upon our foreheads is a spiritual thing primarily, and essentially it's a spiritual thing, it's not a physical thing. We do not deny that there may be physical aspect of taking marks as we go on, as we see things unfold, but we also want to emphasize to you, listener, that it's primarily a spiritual thing, and that if it's taken spiritually, it will be then taken naturally. And so we spent time last week showing how God marks His people. We read from Ezekiel chapter 9, and we explained that. For those of you who are just hearing us, we ask you to listen, and you may pick some of the things we shared last week as we go on today. There was a scripture we quoted last week that I want us to see that I think will help us as we'll explain today again, as Psalm 45. Please turn with me to Psalm 45, and then we want to see how this will help us in our understanding of the issues we are dealing with. We intend to say some things today that we need to have our hearts prepared for this. I'm reading now from Psalm 45 say, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So we see here that what we speak can be what we take to write in the lives of people. And then I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll then see what this has to offer us in understanding and revelation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. So we see here that God today rests upon us by the Spirit of God. When the truth of God is ministered to us by the Word of God, by men who also live in the presence of God, they are writing upon us. They are marking us for God. We're emphasizing this because we also want you to see how people are marked for Satan. And it's important that we understand this. Like we said, we've shared about God marks his people. But let me also still go back to that Ezekiel chapter 9. Because I know to some of us this scripture may be still strange. And I think it's important we emphasize them and we'll explain them so that we can comprehend and we can truly, truly understand and follow God. So we see here, I've said to you that in Ezekiel chapter 9, we read, you see there in verse 3, and the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink on by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men which sigh and cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. And the others he said in my ear, go ye after the man, that's go ye after the man that is wearing the linen and that he was carrying the writer's ink on. And he said in my ears, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. So we dealt with this last week. I'm just reading to emphasize it again, that the man with the writer's ink on is a man who was wearing linen and was one ministering, and as a result of what he's doing, some people were being marked and they were spared from the destruction that had commenced. And we have shown you this also in Ezekiel 44 about those who will not wear wool, what we wear linen garment, and they will minister to the Lord, and they will show us the difference between holy and the unholy. Having shown us this far, let's now go and see the other part of the scripture, how Satan too marks people for himself. We'll start by going to Revelation chapter 9. I want to read verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So we see here that some people will not have the seal of God, the mark of God upon their head. That's verse 4 of that Revelation chapter 9. And then verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it struck a man. So we see here, because they do not have the mark of God, they are tormented and they have a different mark. So let's go on, and I want to read Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. Revelation 13, verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark where in their right hand and or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the mark of his name. Now, we see here, the scripture we read so far about God giving his mark, God was putting his mark on the foreheads of his people, and Satan too is also putting this mark on his own people, and is marking them. And we have read where the scripture said they have the name of the Father upon their foreheads. We also see the name of the beast, or the number of his name is also upon their forehead. Listener, what we are saying to you is that do not be deceived that this mark will be given electronically alone or will be given by computer chips. What we are saying is that this mark is spiritually given. If the mark of God is given spiritually, the mark of Satan also will be given spiritually, first and foremost. We are not denying that there may not be eventually a policy by various government or by Antichrist when it comes, that until we have taken certain marks or whatever. But the point we are making is that first and foremost, this mark is a spiritual thing. If you take the mark spiritually, you will then take the mark physically, because you won't be able to endure, you won't be able to stand. Because those who are taking the mark from God are people who have cried and sighed for the abomination they see in themselves in the temple, because we are talking about the temple now. And then they have been repenting, they have been crucifying the flesh and the lust and the affection thereof. They have been disciplined by the Holy Spirit. They have learned to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been redeemed from the earth. They are denouncing the works of the flesh and they are giving it up. What is the issue? When a man is hungry, and he is hungry to a point, and he has never disciplined himself, he will take any man that is offered to him. He has not been disciplining himself. He has not learned to allow the Holy Spirit to impose. He has not been dying daily, like Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He has not been dying to his flesh. He's been just following himself. The Holy Spirit has not been dealing with him. When he's under pressure, he will cave in. He will take any mark. He will do anything to eat. He will do anything to cool. He will do anything. If many people today, even when we are not yet under this kind of pressure, many people are selling their birthright. Many people are giving up. Many people under the slightest temptation and test, they give up their Christian faith and they compromise. They go into all kinds of... It's even when Antichrist is here that they will not take the mark. They've already taken the mark. That's the point we are making. I want to go on and I want to read from Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink," verse 10, "of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." And verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saint. Here are they that keep the commandment of God and of the faith of Jesus." And then we have read verse 13 for you. Now, I want you to see the implication here. Some people believe, and I know there are different issues and the controversy is deep, many believe that Christians will not go through tribulation and that Christians will not see the Antichrist and that the Christian will escape. Well, I hope it's so. I hope it's so. I hope it's so. But the scripture we see before us, it says to us, in this issue of giving the mark, first it says to us in that verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus." And it's important here. Of course, I know this scripture, many people will mean that it means only the Christians who are weak, who have not followed God. When the Antichrist come, they will be tormented and they will go through tribulation. Maybe. But let's look at the scripture. Some will say it's only the Jews. This scripture is talking about the Jews. It's the Jews who will face the Antichrist. Now, please, let's look at it in this very simple way. If this person, the beast, come is Antichrist, and all the Christians have been taken away, and they are not going to be here, then the Antichrist will be anti-what? Then he will be anti-people. He will not be the Antichrist. That's the first point I want you to look at. Then he will not be Antichrist. He will be anti-people. But because he's Antichrist, he's meant to be anti-God's people. And if God's people have already been evacuated and they are gone and they are not here, then what is anti-what? Then he will not be Antichrist. He will be anti-people. So, but here he says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus." But let's remember, our God is always the man of war. Our God is always a man of war. He has never run from any battle. He has always been a man of war. I would like to read for you again from the book of Ezekiel. Now, we see that the destruction started where? In the temple. The destruction started in the temple. And the man with the writer's inkhorn was still in the midst of them. As he is going, they were following. Okay? We do not see any separation there. It means to me, my understanding is this, that this thing will be going side by side. That's what I see in the scripture. But you are being taught differently. But I'm just asking, look at the scripture again. Look at the scripture again. I want to read something from Ezekiel 13 about the nature of God, the God that we serve. And I want to read from verse 1. "And it's the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophet of Israel, that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus say the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophet that follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. So we see here the essence of speaking and prophesying to us is to prepare us to stand in the day of battle, to be able to stand. The essence of prophesying, preparing us, is not that when the Antichrist can go, we evacuate us and take us out of the way, and so that Antichrist will be anti-people, not Antichrist anymore. That's the issue. And then you will see, as you study the scripture, you will see that the issue of first resurrection, or the resurrection at the coming of Christ, is what is taught clearly in the word of God. And what we call rapture cannot truly be defended from scripture to scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. The theory that says before the tribulation, Christians would have been raptured and would have been taken away and will not be here, you can't really establish it in the scripture. It can be established by tradition, but not by scriptures. Let me read that scripture for you again. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandment of God and of the faith of Jesus. And in verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are they which died in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, see the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, I believe that this scripture is so plain. Now, let's go on as we take more scripture. And I want to take Revelation 17, verse 5. Revelation chapter 17. And verse 5, and upon her first was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. So we see here, again, this is to show to us that this writing of something is not a physical thing, because here is upon her first was written a name, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Now, I want to explain to you. Usually when the scripture says something is written upon one's forehead, means the something has taken control of the person's mind. Okay? Has taken control of the soul of the person. Has taken control of the person's mind. That's what the scripture is saying essentially. And that's why the scripture says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ. In other words, to take the mark of the Antichrist is to be taught wrongly, is to be filled with other things other than the mind of Christ. Okay? And when a Christian is carnally minded, and the scripture says to be carnally minded is what? Is dead. And the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when a Christian is mind is not renewed, is not walking in righteousness, and is not becoming a spiritual man to have the mind of Christ, you will have another mind. And that's why what you are taught is essentially important. What you are taught, you will become what you are taught. You will become what you are taught. So it is who is governing your mind. What is controlling your mind? Is your mind being transformed into the image and likeness of Christ? The Bible says that we should renew our mind. Okay? Is your mind being renewed? And your mind is not just renewed because you read the scriptures or you confess the scripture. Your mind is being renewed as you have encounters with God. Like I said earlier, revelation and transformation. There are many people who have revelation, but there's no transformation. Revelation is to bring us to transformation. Transformation, what? Of our mind, to become the mind of Christ. Our will to become His will. Our emotions to become His emotion. Our desire to become His desire. So as we do this, we are giving up the flesh. We are giving up the old man. We are being recreated to become a new man in the spirit, in the soul, and eventually in the body. I believe what the scripture is being presented to us. Now, it's important, I want to also take your attention to one or two things before we close today. Turn with me to Revelation 20 and 11 to 15. Now, it says here, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Please listen to this. This passage is talking, of course, after the millennium. But the reason I'm bringing this is this. We have been been sharing that there's the first resurrection, Christ as first fruit, and those were raised with him. And we that are in Christ at his coming. And then those who are in Christ, who will partake of this first resurrection, the scripture says they shall reign and rule with him. This is first resurrection, like we have read in Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6. But then those who will not have, the scripture said they will not be resurrected until 1,000 years later. That's what the scripture says. Okay? Now, and the people we are reading about here in verse 11, 12, 13 to 15 that I just read in Revelation 20 is talking about that resurrection that will happen after the millennial. Now, the reason why we are looking at it here is this. It says here, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. That means these people who will face this judgment are also Christians, because it's those who are born again that their names will be written where? In the book of life. Isn't it? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So at this point now, I want you to see, and it says this is the time that all the deaths will be delivered up and dead and hair cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, I want to take that issue of the book of life and then the second death. I want to take it together. Revelation 21, and I want to read from verse 5 to 8. And it says this, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to them, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him a thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. We come to this word again. The second death. Now, again, I want you to see. These are the things that we are supposed to overcome. And the scripture is saying that if we don't overcome all these things, we are not overcoming. If we are not overcoming, what happens? And the scripture says, those who do not overcome will go to experience the second death. And please remember that where we read earlier, it said the book of life will be open. I want to say to us, the scripture never teaches that once saved, always saved. I've had people today say, they even say that once you are born again, God has forgiven your past sin, your present sin, and even the sins that you have not yet committed, future sins have all been forgiven. So you can go on after you are born again, sinning. It doesn't matter. That's not true. That's not true. Please look at the scriptures by yourself. And he's saying those who do not overcome will experience the second, and the book of life will be open. Please, before we close, Revelation chapter 3. And I want you to see what it says here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. It said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed where? With white raiment. You remember the man we saw in Ezekiel chapter 9 was wearing the same thing. Because the person who ministers to you, you will become like the person who ministers to you, like the priest, like the people. That's what the scripture says. And I will not blot out his name. Where? Out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. That means those who do not overcome, who are they? Christians. Okay, if they do not overcome, what the Lord is saying here, he says, please let's see it again. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with in white raiment. I will not blot out his name. That means those who did not overcome, what will happen? He will blot out their names from the book of life. I hope it's clear. What we are seeing therefore is this. Please do not be deceived. Believe that once you are saved forever. No, it is those who follow the Lamb with us wherever he goes. It is those who are crucifying their flesh as they walk in the Spirit that will overcome. It is those who enter into the first resurrection. And those who do this will not partake of the mark of the Antichrist. And those who refuse to overcome will take the mark of the Antichrist. Are they born again? Yes. Are their names written in the book of life? Yes. Can somebody's name be taken out of the book of life? Well, just read it again from the mouth of Jesus himself, directly from his mouth in Revelation chapter 3. Please, I'm commending to us. I am not the judge, but I'm just presenting the scripture to us the way it is. And that we should look at the scripture and we should not be deceived, because here is open for us, the word of God. So that's why we're saying We're dealing with issue of resurrection, listener, and we're looking at the issue of resurrection as it affects us, and we're seeing resurrection has stages. The resurrection of first fruits, the resurrection of those who will overcome, those who are Christ, those who are dealing with their flesh, who are crucifying the flesh. And because of that, because they are listening, they are repenting of the abomination in them, they will not take the mark. God will mark them, and they will be spared of the destruction that are coming. And then this judgment will start from God's house, from His sanctuary, from the leaders, and extend to men and women and children, and even to maids. So this judgment is in the house of God. And then it will extend to the city, and it will extend to the whole world. That's this way this judgment will come. And those who refuse to repent of the abomination and continue in the name that they are born again and that they are saved, they will take the mark of the Antichrist, because by rejecting to deal with themselves and not taking the mark of the Lord, of the mark of Christ, they will automatically take the mark of the Antichrist, which is a spiritual thing. Like we said, yeah, there may be a physical expression, but first and foremost, it's the choices you make every day. Are you making choices to follow God, to discipline yourself, to follow the Holy Spirit, or you are making choices governed by your flesh, by your carnality, by your lust, by all kinds of vices, abomination, wickedness, and evil, and you are living in it? You are already taking the mark of the Antichrist. That's the teaching of the Word of God. And you can be born again, and instead of taking the mark of Christ, you are taking the mark of the Antichrist, and you don't know. That's where the deception is, and you don't know. You don't know the choices you are making, the way you are living. You're already taking the mark. You're already being marked for something that the physical mark will just be a formality. I pray that this will not be our portion. I pray that it will not be our portion, that we don't reign with Christ, and after you have not reigned with Christ after 1,000 years, again, when the judgment is made, the book is open. And the Lord Himself is saying here that He will wipe out the name of those who do not overcome from the book of life. And I believe that those who have taught us to say that once your name is written in the book of life, it's written forever. Let us look at the scripture. Let us look at it, whether truly it is the word of God. I ask that the Lord will bless you. I ask that what we are bringing your way will be a blessing to you. You will go home, you will consider, you will pray yourself into understanding, you will pray yourself into transformation and change that is necessary in this last day. I pray the Lord bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness.